And you're like, when is Pastor Lee going to be back? He'll be back next week. I think maybe him and Jackie right now are maybe driving through New Mexico. As you know, they left and drove all the way to Florida. Now, they saw family all along the way because I think they went and saw family of Jackie's in Texas. And then they went maybe even Tennessee, but then down into Florida where Luke got married, Luke Shaw. We called him Baby Luke, and now he's married. And so me and Gene and our family had the privilege of being there. So we were gone from Sunday to Sunday. So we weren't with you guys for 2 weeks. We missed you. We're glad to be back. Glad to be back with family. I can tell you one thing I certainly didn't miss was 90 degrees and 90% humidity. Now, 90 degrees doesn't sound like much, does it? That humidity was horrible. So anyway, still had a good time, and it was, you know, seeing being with Jackie and Lee, being with Caleb and Fatima, and obviously seeing Luke get married. What a privilege it was. And Pastor Lee will be back next Sunday, I promise. But you guys know, as church family here, the Lord wants to speak to us today, right? Regardless of who's up here. So my prayer is that I don't feel like I've got to entertain anybody. Is that all right? Can I be relieved of that? I don't have to entertain anybody, but that God would speak to us this morning. That the Lord is always looking to speak wisdom to us, by the way. Matter of fact, if I had to put a title on this, because I may not speak for a while, so I can put a title. Pastor Lee doesn't have titles, right? As you know. But it would be, what is true wisdom? We think of the word wisdom. And as I was studying for this, the other thing is I had like 2 months to study for this, like I had 20 pages of notes. But thank God I won't go over all of them today. Is that okay? But I started looking as far as God started speaking to my heart about wisdom. And that it was funny, as I started looking into wisdom and what it means for the believer today, I started looking into the church, the Corinthian church, the Corinth. You guys know 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so as I started looking into this church, Corinthians, as a matter of fact, it was interesting. I looked at a study from another church who did like a year-long study on the book of 1 Corinthians, and it was called Church Gone Wild. Because there was a lot of issues in the Corinthian church, And so as I read these scriptures, I kind of explain why they're so impactful. What it means today, like 2,000 years ago when Paul arrived in Corinth, it was a city that wouldn't be much different than going into New York City, except they didn't have cars, or going into L.A. It was a very influential city. It was a very rich city. It was a city where they loved knowledge. It was a hub where people, the latest, greatest ideas and the so-called technology of the day, they would come to Corinth. And they would gather all the town and the peoples, and it would be like they would sit down, get their popcorn out, and they'd say, "We want to hear these ideals. We love wisdom. We are the smartest people in the world. We're the wisest people in the world. The richest people in the world, maybe." Corinth was a hub between Asia and Europe, so a lot of trade. So you can imagine if you had 500,000 people. A thriving downtown. This is where Paul showed up, and he was a tent maker. So he would walk around and see everything that was going on in Corinth today. Then, to set the stage even more, they were really into certain. Not only wisdom was a big thing, but they were also into obviously worshiping of idols. And one of the big idols that they worshiped, if you can put that up there, put that picture up there if you don't mind, Bill, was Aphrodite. And this was like one of the only pictures I could find where she had clothes on. But Aphrodite had a temple about 1,000 feet behind the town, because the town was kind of on a hill. So the hilltop behind him, about 1,000 feet, was a temple. And the people was really, one of the influences of Corinth was Aphrodite, the worship of this god. But not just the worship, but at any given time there might be 1,000 prostitutes there. The people partaking in prostitution, they thought it would help them have more children. They thought it would help their marriages and their families. Isn't that crazy how the devil can fool people? something that's perceived as wisdom, but actually is foolishness. And so the prostitutes would come down into the city and say, "Hey, guys, gals, just come on up with us." So they would go down into the town square and say, "Come on up with us." And so Aphrodite, and let me have the picture of where Corinth is. Put the other picture up for me, would you, Bill? I'm setting something here, guys. Thank you. So you can see the Mediterranean Sea. You can see Corinth there on the left. Achaia is that area right there. And you can see Corinth and how that was kind of an area right there in between Asia, and then they would sail through there and then go into Europe. So it was very influential. And so as I start here, setting the stage of what Corinth was like. So you think when Paul got there, how would he set up this church? What would he be? How would he? What would be his strategy to start a church in Corinth? Or would he even be the right person to start it, actually? And so if we go to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, and when I came to you, this is Paul, says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." When you think about it, that to me would seem like that Paul would need to come with superiority or speech. It seems like to me that he would need to come and say, "You know what, I've got to be at the same level with these people here." After all, we're talking about people, the most educated people of the day in the area where the educated people really thrived. Except Paul does the exact opposite. He's there 18 months starting this church, Corinth. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God." Amen. And today I bring this up because we live in a day and age, if we're not careful in our lives, that as we look for answers in our lives, how many of you know that life is life? You walk with Christ, you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have challenges. But as the Lord began to speak to me, he started saying, as we look for answers, it can be easy to look outside the wisdom of God for those answers. Matter of fact, it's interesting how when Paul came, he could have used superiority of speech and wisdom. He was well educated. He could speak 3 or 4 languages, they say. He could have kept up with them and said, "Hey, I'm here to show you, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm a wise man as well." But he does the exact opposite. Matter of fact, I would think that at that time, many of the people would have been put off by this. "I knew nothing amongst you but Jesus Christ and him crucified, with weakness and trembling." He must have been a sight there to see. So what it was opposite of what you think it would be, a strategic move by somebody who's going to build a church. Or even, was he the right person? It's funny that the pastor that came after Paul, who was there 18 months, was Apollos. Apollos was very learned. Apollos was very elegant in his speech. The guy was a fireball when he preached. Probably the only individual maybe that could that might even known the Bible even more than Paul because of his background. But God didn't bring in Apollos to start the church. He brought in the weak. He brought in the simple. He brought in the basic truth as we talk about what is the wisdom of God as a reminder for us today, brothers and sisters. What do we look for? Where do we put our focus on when we've got struggles? And we know it's simple just to say the word of God. But man, I know there's been times in my life where I have memorized hundreds of scriptures to no avail. Because I didn't have a correct understanding of Christ at that time. So it's just not memorization or the Bible alone. It's how we process or what we believe today about true wisdom. So Paul did the opposite of what would seem like the logical method to reach the people of Corinth. Absolutely. We know that Corinth flourished and became the administrative capital of the Roman province of Achaia, a great place of great wealth. We know it had Aphrodite, the religions, that the different religions that they were into at the time. They had the cult Issus, which was a prevalent in the Roman Empire, placed an emphasis on wisdom, like I said. Loved wisdom. But Paul reminds them of this foundation right here. If you can put this on the next scripture, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God." But let me just say right now, that doesn't mean that as far as Christians and believers that we can't have an education or that we have to be blooming idiots. Can I say it that way? No, not at all. No, education and so forth, that's fine. We've got engineers, doctors, people with great minds. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is when that wisdom seems to be the focus of people as far as they're actually in modern-day religion, in our schools, in our universities, as far as what's considered wisdom now. You hear of people that will leave home, they're Christians, and they'll leave home and go to colleges and may lose their faith, or their faith is weakened because of what's considered wisdom of that day. Amen? So I want to say again, doesn't mean anyone that comes to Christ is stupid or simpleton or uneducated. What I'm saying is what are we looking for as true wisdom? I was thinking of some of the colleges that first started in America. They were started, some of the Ivy League schools, when they first began, it was, you wouldn't know it now, but they were started to train ministers. Isn't that amazing? Yale, Princeton, started to train ministers. They started because they didn't want the wisdom of the world influencing people. It's the foundation of the Word of God. How we've gotten away from that, haven't we? Amen. Not some of us, though. Amen. Paul, as Paul says, it says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Just as we go through here, just know that God's wisdom, as we begin to talk about it, is the foundation for us as believers in Christ. His wisdom. But I want to say this, but yet pursuing understanding and wisdom is the path to a successful life. So I'm not saying that we don't pursue anything, that we're not knowledgeable, that we're not studious, that we're not always learning, always growing as individuals in person. But where is that path, and what is the foundation? I think of the scripture in Hosea 4:6, my people were cut off because they lacked wisdom, because thou hast rejected wisdom. This was an Old Testament scripture. They had the law. But even God then knew that the law wasn't going to bring salvation, so I don't even think he was speaking to them at that time. I think he was speaking forward to people at our time now. My people are cut off, or they fail, or they struggle, or they're in depression, or they get lost, or they don't have a path, because I think sometimes we can get off the basic truths of wisdom in God's Word. Amen. I think God, like I say, has a path for all of us. Amen? He really does. And it begins with his wisdom, which we'll take a look at. As I started reading this in 1 Corinthians 1:30 through 31, the next one, Bill, this is when God started kind of opening my eyes. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. For our benefit, God has made him to be wisdom itself. Jesus Christ is wisdom itself. What's interesting is when we're born again, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into us, a whole new world is open to us if we realize that. Because the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, and it's wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. I love this scripture. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Amen? Has he freed you from sin? Amen? Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast about the Lord. Amen? God made Jesus for our benefit, wisdom itself. Did you know we have everything we need in Christ Jesus as far as wisdom? Our struggles. Addictions. How about addictions? I know there's a lot of different ways that man tries to deal in helping with addiction. But I also know that the recovery rate of those who get help, as I say, in rehabilitation is very low. And I come to realize that I'm not ashamed to say this, without Christ Jesus, you're just not going to get victory. Because it's the power of God unto salvation, amen, that leads to salvation. It's the true wisdom of God that sets the soul free. It's the true wisdom of God that will set a soul free from addiction and from sin. All these different programs trying to help people to free them from the different addictions that are out there. And they're just, the proof is in the pudding that the results are just not many people. They say about 6% of those who go into rehabilitation actually can get free from what they're struggling with. Because that's the wisdom of man that they're using. There's no power in the wisdom of man, brothers and sisters. So when it says that God made him to be wisdom itself, we can go to some other scriptures here. Let's go to the next set, if we can, Bill. I love these scriptures. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom. Now, we know that God made Jesus to be wisdom itself, so you could say their purpose is to teach people Jesus, to reveal Jesus, to show you Jesus, to show me Jesus, to empower me with Jesus, and discipline, instruction. Discipline and instruction to help them understand the insights of the wise. Amen. Regardless of your background, regardless of your age, where you come from, God living in you, you can overcome any obstacle in your life. I think about my wife and myself being here 10 years, and what God has done in our lives is this, it's miraculous. Had to come to a point in my life where I said, God, I don't know what I've been doing, but I know it hasn't worked. And I felt like I had to start over. I feel like I had to start at the beginning and just say, Lord, I'm gonna believe in your love. I believe you died for me. Other than that, I don't know much. And as God started adding true wisdom to our lives, opening doors, blessing our marriage, doing things, helping us overcome great difficulties, not just overcome them, but with power, overcoming them with power, with a good attitude, moving forward in Him. I'm learning that with God's wisdom and my understanding of Him, that regardless of what I'm going through now, man, I can go through it with my head held high, with joy in my heart, with strength in my hands, and do whatever He would allow me to accomplish or whatever He would put before me. Do you believe that for yourself today? Verse 3 says, their purpose is, talking about this wisdom, it says their purpose is to teach people how to live disciplined and successful lives. Let me ask you first real quick, just to remind yourselves, do you believe in Christ that we can live a successful life? There's been a time where I thought that really wasn't the case. I had to give everything up, that I couldn't really have any desires of my own. So a successful life was something in my mind that I really couldn't put to words, of yielding to God. And then what would that mean? I don't know. That was a successful life. Let me tell you something. God gives us the desires of our heart. He places new desires, as a matter of fact. People sometimes say, hey, you better be careful about desires. But I've come to learn, as I've grown in God, as His wisdom is grown in my heart, that He's given me new desires. The desires I have now are not the desires I had 10 years ago. So I can move forward in confidence with these desires that are in my life, that I can pursue them. Pursue them, amen? A whole, a healthy, a joyful, a joy-filled life in God's wisdom. How about you? You agree with that today, brothers and sisters? Reading that again. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right and just and fair through the power of the Holy Spirit. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Amen. I read this because it reminded me, this says that, what it was talking about, Jesus saying the purpose in verse 2, their purpose is to teach people Jesus. The Word of God, when you come to understand Christ Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, the whole Word is all directed at Him. It's a testimony of Him. It's about Him. It's all He knew from the time Adam and Eve fell that Christ was going to come and redeem us from the curse of the law. Amen? Come and redeem us from the curse of the law. Let me, a few more things here I want to share with you, brothers and sisters. So what is the start of wisdom? Or what is this path of wisdom? How do we get there? For many of you, it's just a reminder. So thank you for your patience as I just remind you of what is the path of wisdom. So starting, the first one is the next scripture. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I couldn't understand what this meant because I heard so many different things about what the fear of the Lord is, you know, and some of it never really made sense to me, what the fear of the Lord. So if we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what's that mean? So let's go to the next scripture, Bill. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. And I started thinking and meditating on this, is what it made me realize the beginning of wisdom is the understanding of every heart that I need Jesus. I need someone to cleanse me from my sins. If you're here today, just so you know that Jesus came to set us free from sin, first and foremost, to restore our relationship with God. The first thing that Jesus came to do was to cleanse us from sin. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad that that first step of what He accomplished, the beginning of wisdom, is realizing you need a Savior? The first step of wisdom is my understanding that I need a Savior. I cannot forgive my own sin. I can't do enough good to overcome sin in my life. You know, the wisdom of the world says do your best and then give your time to charity. Help others in need. That's noble. But that's the world's wisdom. That certainly will not save a soul. That will not make a soul right with God. Do you agree? If you know Christ. But that's the world's wisdom. Do your best. Help those in need. Be a good person. But you know what? If you could do that, if that would be what was needed to get into heaven, then Christ's death and resurrection would not have been needed. So the beginning of wisdom is realizing I need a Savior. I need someone to forgive me of sin, to cleanse my sins, and it's by His blood. Amen? Amen. Number two, I love this, but if any of you lack wisdom, you guys have heard this scripture, if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God who will give it to you because God gives generously and graciously to all. Do you need to remind yourself this morning that in your time of need that, Lord, I need your wisdom? You know, sometimes I've realized even if you're struggling with depression, sometimes I've come to realize with people and talking with people, it's just maybe God's wisdom in a little area of your life needs to change and then you're free. Maybe that little wisdom is realizing that He loves you where you're at. Maybe that little thing of wisdom you need in your heart is the things that you're going through, He's going to bring you out of that. Maybe the little wisdom that you need in your heart is be patient. The world's wisdom is what? No patience. Now, we got to have it now, right? God's wisdom, sometimes it's going to call for patience. Sometimes when I'm having struggles and I'm not at peace, I've learned to stop and say, okay, God, what do I need to do differently here? I know that it's not what God needs to do differently, right? He loves me. He's for me. He's got my back. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've come to realize, Lord, what do I need to do differently, Lord? What wisdom, Father God, do I need you to reveal to me, Father, to bring me back into peace with you? God is always wanting to reveal wisdom to us. So it says, let Him ask, but be patient in Him revealing wisdom to you. Be patient in hearing His voice. The flesh, man's idea is I got to have that fast right now, right? It's interesting that I was looking at the best-selling self-help books of all time. And just the top five here, they're called Man's Search for Meaning. I mean, these are top-selling books. Think about it. Man's Search for Meaning. I'm so thankful I'm not searching for meaning. How about you? I'm not searching for meaning. This book here wouldn't do me any good because I have found my meaning in Christ Jesus. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying that it's the wisdom of the world. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I've read that book. Maybe a lot of you have. That's a top-selling book. That's number two all time. Number three, Just Listen. I'm not sure what they're listening to. But just listen. Number four is Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion. How can I persuade you to do things my way? I'm not sure. Sounds kind of like that, right? And number five is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And in the past, I have read that book as well. My point is people are always looking for wisdom, always looking for something to help them get ahead, always looking for something to give meaning to life. And I just want to say that as brothers and sisters in Christ, that he wants to give us that wisdom. He wants us to realize that, yes, there's knowledge in the world, things, the abilities. I see a skyscraper or a bridge, I'm amazed at what man, through engineering and technology, can do. It's amazing. Wow, that's awesome. But without Christ, for those people, it doesn't mean anything. It does not mean anything. And a matter of fact, it says this earth and the elements thereof will be burned with fire. Someday there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, right? The new Jerusalem will come down, will be with Jesus forever and ever. What we're here seeing and living is just temporal. But the wisdom of God is what? Eternal. Number three, one of the next scriptures says, for our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience. How's your conscience with God this morning? As brothers and sisters in this room, are you confident in him and his love for you? I mentioned last time I preached here and a brother told me, he says, on your worst day, God loves you deeply. And at the time I was told, I simply didn't believe that. This wasn't the way I was raised. It wasn't the way I was taught. It wasn't the Christianity I knew, but it wasn't the wisdom of God, what I was taught. The true wisdom of God is on my worst day, he loves me deeply. Amen? For our proud confidence is in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. But in the grace of God. You know, this thing that we talk about wisdom is going to be through the grace of God. I think from the time that every one of us is born, I know from the Word of God, he's placed things within our lives, giftings, abilities. Some of us are called to be in ministry. Some of us are called to be in business. There's different things. All of our callings are differently. But God has placed something within us that through his revealing of his wisdom can come forth in our lives, regardless of your age as well. You can't be too young. You can't be too old. Amen. Daniel was one who became number two in command in Babylon just through the wisdom of God. Just through the wisdom of God, saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know what Daniel had said? He says, I'm not going to trust the wisdom of the Babylonians. I'm going to trust my God. And trusting God's wisdom, you can saw what God brought him through. Get him out of the lion's den, right? Making him number two in charge, really, there in Babylon. Through the wisdom of God. My purpose as we continue here is that God's wisdom takes us places we could never take ourselves. God's wisdom in our lives is going to get us where he wants us to be. God's wisdom in our life is what's going to give us the confidence, the patience on the road, the trip. God's wisdom says be content where you're at on this trip. Be happy where you're at. The wisdom of the world says you're not going to be happy till you get there, wherever there is. But God's wisdom says, hey, I love you. I saved you. I filled you with my spirit. be happy where I have you. But let him lead you onto whatever path he has you on. What I love about God's wisdom too is if you've gotten off the path, hey, God can put you on the path and get you going like that. The world may tell you, no, it's too late. Sorry, you've messed up. Religion will tell you, man, if you hadn't screwed up so bad, God would have a purpose for you. But that's a lie, by the way. That's not the wisdom of God. Amen. I just give some examples here, a couple of scriptures of those in the Word of God that by the wisdom of God, God did great things. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. I don't know about you, but I've been praying more and more as I've been studying that. Lord, thank you for wisdom. Fill me with wisdom. How about you? Lord, fill me with wisdom. Lord, thank you for in my life, towards my wife, towards my family, towards my children, fill me with wisdom. I was talking to a gentleman one time that with his having a struggle with his marriage and had gone to a lot of different counseling, and it just wasn't helping. It just wasn't helping. It maybe helped for a little bit, then they'd slip back into the same old routine. And so there was a real strain there. And then one day when he was praying, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Do you want to be married?" And it was like he had a conversation with himself, but it was the wisdom of God. And he said, "Yes, I do. I do want to be married." And then the answer that came back to him was, "Then act like it." And he said it changed his life. What the wisdom of man couldn't do, God dropping a nugget of wisdom changed that marriage. Do you believe that God can do that? Do you believe in an area of your life even today that God can drop a nugget of wisdom in something you've been struggling with, that maybe you've been wrestling with? What have you been wrestling with? Has it been with, how am I going to figure this out? How's this going to work out? You know, and inside you're like, I'll be happy when I get past this. Ever thought that? I sure have. Maybe asking God, Lord, your wisdom today, Father God, drop something in my spirit, whether it be today, tomorrow, next week. Start asking, brothers and sisters, for that wisdom of God in your life. We can start looking outside, and that's the world will teach us that. We can start looking outside of his wisdom to find answers. And we can grow weary. We can grow frustrated. We can grow depressed. We can grow angry. And we can pray, and the simple answer is, Lord, let me get back and focus on your answer. Amen. The other one, it said, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. And the next one, simple, and God gave Solomon wisdom. We think of Solomon, and we think how wise he was, but do we remember how he got that wisdom? That was him asking God for wisdom. Did you know we can do the same thing? Because everything in the Old Testament even always points to Jesus Christ. We just read the scriptures, the first of Proverbs, where it's talked about wisdom. And we know from what we read in Corinthians that God made Jesus to be wisdom itself. So we know those scriptures are all pointing towards Jesus. Amen? And God gave Solomon wisdom. So that means, tells me that, you know what? God, if we ask him for wisdom, will give us wisdom as well. You know what happens though is we might start thinking, you know what, I just can't cut it. I don't have the ability. Doesn't matter if it's work. Just think of a situation we think, I don't have what it takes. I can't cut the mustard. You probably can't. But through Christ Jesus, through his wisdom, we're going to do far beyond anything we could imagine. It's going to be through him. It's not going to be by the operation of the flesh, but it's going to be by the operation of the Spirit that lives within us. God loves taking average folks and doing mighty things through them. Do you agree with that? Amen. Continue on the next scripture, Bill. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And it's funny, all these scriptures coming from Corinthians because... like I said, it was a hub of the wisdom of man. I mean, that's what their focus was. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Thank you, Lord, for the things freely given to us by God. which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit in you, brother and sister? God's teaching you. Allow Him to teach you. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. What could those spiritual words look like? It's meditating on these things, that even what we're talking about today. It's also meditating on the things where we hear, where we're saying, God, thank you for teaching me. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for giving me all the ability I need for this life. Amen. God's Spirit in us makes us accomplish great things. I was reading here, it says, the Corinthians were so steeped in the wisdom of men and men that even after 18 months that Paul was with them, he writes to them the next scripture, Bill. It says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food. Mind you, he was there 18 months establishing that church. He leaves, and then Apollos does come in and continues as the pastor. He says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And it's amazing. And he says, and you still aren't ready. 18 months. Still so focused on the wisdom of man that the Church of Corinth continued to struggle with. There was, you know, with the things that they were struggling with, drunkenness in their meetings. They were being ripped apart at the seams. Some were saying, hey, I want to follow Paul. I'm following Apollos. I'm Paul. I'm following Peter. He established the church. Jealousies. Even after Paul had established that church and left, he now was writing them to give them instruction, because the whole time he was there, he really couldn't give them much true wisdom. We go back to where he started. He says, I save to know nothing amongst you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm starting right here at the foundation with what the truth of true wisdom is. And he probably stayed there pretty much for the whole 18 months trying to establish wisdom in there. But it was tough where he was at to get that established. Amen. Let's go to the next scripture, Bill. It says, yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. It says, no, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of the glory. So Paul says, hey, there is wisdom. I wasn't able to give it to you. I wasn't able to give you any more wisdom, because we couldn't even get past the foundation. Let me just give you a few scriptures here, and then we'll stand up and we'll end. Is that okay? I won't have any more scriptures there that you have to worry about, Bill. Just give you a few things that we were talking. That was keys, if I can see those. No. Amen. Sorry, guys. Appreciate your patience. We had some things, I didn't bring that, I suppose. Amen. There was a few more that I had here. I want to say the few keys. I just want to give you a few scriptures that talks about the keys to wisdom. We people are always looking for the keys to a happy life, the keys to wisdom. We hear, what is the key to a good marriage? We hear, what is the key to running a successful business? We hear, what is the key to raising a healthy, happy children? We hear, what is the key to being happy and fulfilled? We talk about some of these keys. The key in Isaiah 22:22 says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, talking about Jesus. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. Meaning Jesus opened the way to salvation and truth. Jesus said, woe to the lawyers, For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. Talking about religion. So religion is not the key. An understanding, or just a knowing even the Bible or a few scriptures. Because the leaders of that day had hindered. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. I thank the Lord that he's given us keys as far as overcoming the enemy, binding the enemy in our lives. Another key. I love this too. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet. This is in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Amen. God has taken us from death unto life. Then I saw an angel coming down, in Revelation 20 says, and I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I love how we talk about the first one, God put that key into Jesus' hand to bring his salvation. He puts that key in the hands of Peter. As far as binding the work of the enemy on earth as it is already bound in heaven. I like that he says, and I have given the key to death and Hades, given to Jesus, meaning we've been taken from death unto life. And then the last key, he says, I have that key to the pit where the enemy who harasses people on earth now, that's going to end someday and he will be forever tormented in hell. Amen. My whole thing today is, are you glad that the Lord has released wisdom in your life? He's pushed. Can we stand up? Could we have the worship team come back? Amen. I just want to say that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that first step of wisdom. It's wonderful how Jesus, regardless of your background, your education, or lack thereof, that it's the same for everybody. That first step is giving your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. As we see, when we do release here, if you want me to pray with you, if you'd like to give your life to Christ, or maybe you're here and you thought, you know, I didn't realize what giving my life to Christ means. I've met people who, they've heard of Jesus, they believed in him, but they didn't realize that what he came to do for them, to wash them of their sins by his blood, to give them a new life and a new purpose. Or maybe you need to say, Lord, there's some areas of wisdom. Maybe this morning, Lord, you spoke to me and there's some areas of my life I need your wisdom. Lord, there's areas in my life where I've been really struggling. Maybe you've been frustrated. Maybe you found yourself to be frustrated and you're not sure. A lot of times that frustration is there's something going on in your life that just keeps, just a cycle. Nothing seems to change. Maybe you just need the Lord to say, Lord, I want wisdom in that area of my life. You know, he'll give it to you. He'll give you wisdom on what job to be on, where you're working, amen. He'll give you wisdom with your marriage, amen. Any relationships, he'll give you wisdom. Do you believe that? I've come to realize that when I have those things of frustrations or things coming my way, I've learned to realize, Lord, what do I need to do differently? I've learned not to say, man, if this circumstance would change, I'd be happy. I pray for circumstances to change. Don't get me wrong, but how about when circumstances don't change? What do? Lord, we start, Lord, give me wisdom in these circumstances. Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, can we lift our hands together? We'll release it. Father, we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for wisdom in your people. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the Spirit of God. You, Lord, your Word says that you made Jesus to be wisdom itself. And so, Father God, we thank you for that today. We thank you, Father, all that we need, Father, you have provided for us in wisdom. Lord, we thank you that any struggles that we have, Father God, that, Lord, you have an answer for that struggle. Lord, we thank you that anything that we're going through right now, you have an answer for that, Father God. Lord, we thank you that you've set us free from addiction in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for providing our needs, Father God, even financially. Maybe you're in a financial need and you need God's wisdom. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need your wisdom in this area. Maybe finances. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need your wisdom in this area of my life. He'll give it to you. If you're born again, if you know him as your Savior, he will give that wisdom to you. Do you believe that? Relationships, maybe in your marriage, maybe what you need to do is say, Lord, start speaking to me about wisdom about that marriage, my marriage, to bless my marriage, Father God, to strengthen my marriage in Jesus' name, to strengthen my marriage in Jesus' name. You know, the enemy's always trying to destroy things, good things in our lives, marriages, our children, our grandchildren. And Lord, we thank you through your wisdom, Father God, we stand firm right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for pouring out your wisdom upon your people this morning, your strength upon us, Father. Amen. We thank you for that wisdom, Father God. We thank you for that strength this morning. We thank you for that ability this morning. We thank you for your goodness, Father. We thank you for healing those who have been sick. I know I've been struggling with a sickness, and we thank you for your healing this morning, Father God. We thank you that you still heal. Maybe you need a healing in your body this morning. Ask him for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that, for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for blessing your people the remainder of this day. Thank you for a good Monday. You guys love Mondays? I love Mondays. Amen. I've been telling myself that for years. I believe it now. Lord, we thank you for Monday tomorrow. We thank you for your wisdom on your children tomorrow and Monday, Father God. Strength, Lord, we expect good things in our life, Father. And we praise you, we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You love the Lord?
Yes.
Go in peace today.